Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Jim Cassidy, and I'm joined today by Camden Busey, and today we're going to be speaking about what's best next, how the gospel transforms the way you get things done, a publication of Zondervan Press by Matt Perman. Camden, why don't you tell us a little bit about this book?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. This is an excellent book. I loved this book, and I was so glad to see when it came out, what it was about. I read some of the press materials about it, and I quickly got my hands on a copy. Very thankful to Zondervan for sending one along. This book is written by Matt Perman. Matt Perman used to work for Desiring God. He formerly served as their senior director of strategy there in Minneapolis. He also has some education and is certified with the Project Management Institute. So he has some experience in business. I myself am kind of like a productivity geek. I wouldn't say that I'm a guru or definitely not somebody who does it that well, but I'm always interested in it. I aspire to be someone who gets things done.
And,
I very much enjoyed was David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, which has really spawned kind of a whole subculture, the GTD culture. Now, Perman is very much familiar with all of that. He's read an enormous amount of books that have a lot of good common grace wisdom on productivity and what it means to be good stewards of our time. And he's very much using and building upon that good knowledge. But what he does is he brings in a wealth of information and theological insight into this book. He also has a seminary education. So he's combining kind of two fields into a very helpful book that I think is useful for everybody, but especially pastors and students and other people with a lot of obligations that feel like they're just swimming with stuff and feel like they have no help and no way to get out of their schedules and have any control over what goes on in their lives. So I think this book is a fantastic book and one that's useful for every single person. But let me open it up and describe what's in here and give you a little bit more information. Like I mentioned, it's about productivity. That's a phrase that sometimes gets a bad rap in some circles because it's so often associated with the self-help genre. And self-help itself is something that we sometimes have an aversion to. You know, Jim, when you hear that title or that section of the bookstore is usually filled with books that are, yeah, I don't know, maybe less than useful.
It sounds Pelagian, doesn't it?
It does. It so does. Oh, man, which is a problem. Sure. However, if we think about productivity in a God-centered way, and especially the way Paul talks about, you know, making the best use of our time in Ephesians chapter 5, I believe, for the days are evil, and even 1 Peter 3:18 through maybe about 4:6, especially the beginning of chapter 4, talks about us being good stewards of what we've received. The one thing we have is our time, and we need to be good stewards of our time and to use that time well. So here is a way for us to be good Christians and good stewards of what God has given to us, including our time. He has a couple different sections in this book. The first section is First Things First, Making God Supreme in Our Productivity. First Things First is a phrase, I believe, that first was made known by Peter Drucker in his really well-known book, The Effective Executive. But then it was also used by a guy named Stephen Covey, a very well-known and best-selling author, has an entire book called First Things First. Peter Drucker says, effective executives. Now, executive, again, is a title that we might not want to apply to ourselves as pastors. But think of yourself as somebody who needs to do things and also provide leadership and guidance, not only to yourself, but to your family and to your entire church. In that sense, you are an executive, not in the business sense, but in the sense that you have been given much responsibility and need to care for that in a good way. An effective executive does first things first, and he does one thing at a time. So it's a call to concentration. It's a call to priorities. We need to make God supreme in our productivity and what we do, even with our schedules, not waste our time away by moving from text messages to Twitters to, you know, phone calls to all sorts of things. We need to make room in our schedule for what's important. And here he talks about the significance of being effective. Now, that is, to me, the most valuable thing of this book, the emphasis on effectivity rather than efficiency. Now, the two aren't opposed to one another, but usually when we think about productivity, we think about being efficient. We think of kind of like an assembly line. We want to do more things and do them faster. We want to be efficient. You know, I can get through 10 emails instead of 2, or I can answer 5 phone calls and do 6 shepherding visits. I could be my own Richard Baxter, you know, rather than thinking about effectiveness. And especially for people in ministry and people that work with other people, which is basically everybody, we need to think about being effective. Because working with people and spending time with people and developing relationships in the truest sense of the term is really not efficient. People are horribly inefficient.
That's right.
But if you spend 2 or 3 hours with someone, that could be highly effective, and it ought to be. And so he advocates a kind of an approach to life and productivity that is aiming towards effectiveness, not only doing things and getting things done, but doing the right things. And I think that's just a total paradigm shift, or a really helpful mindset change, especially for pastors and people in ministry, but of course for every single person. You know, I'll give you one example. When I used to work at Caterpillar, I have an odd history that leads me into books like this. But I did an MBA right out of college, and I even actually worked for the Bradley Center for Business and Economic Research, and one of the projects we did was to study management styles. So I have some history in this kind of thing. And I kind of had an aversion to all this literature about management, leadership, you know, in terms of applying it to the church, because when I got out of business school and I worked at Caterpillar for 3 years and was doing different management stuff there and other type corporate projects, then I went off to seminary. And some people would say, wow, this business training and the MBA is going to be great for you as you go off and work in a church. And I kind of had a knee-jerk reaction and wanted to say, well, no, the church isn't a business. And we don't think of it that way. And it kind of, in my mind, kind of, I don't know, hermetically sealed the business literature and all of those things about productivity and managing time and working with other people. I sealed that away and separated it from any theology or even practical theology. And I did that for many, many years until, you know, I started to see that there is common grace in some of these things. And we don't run the church like a business. It's not a business. It would be a horrible tragedy to try to treat it like a business. However, there are many good things that can be said by people like Peter Drucker or even Stephen Covey, and especially here by Matt Perman, that can be helpful for us as we're thinking about what it means to love one another and care for one another in the body of Christ. But in my time at CAT, you tend to think sometimes, I'm here to do a job. And I've been given these responsibilities by my manager, and I need to do these things. And therefore, whenever somebody comes to me with an issue, you know, whether it's the software program I'm working on, or if they have a question about some corporate program or some other thing, it's so easy to think of the people as an interruption to what you need to be doing. It's that these people become an impediment to you being efficient with your tasks.
Yeah,
but that's a total misunderstanding, because we are called to love one another and to help one another.
How does this, you know, recently we've talked to Kevin DeYoung on his book, Crazy Busy. Does this kind of dovetail with that at all?
Very much so. I think more so. I think Kevin DeYoung's book is, you know, a helpful look at how we manage our time. It's looking a little bit more at the theology behind it, but also just some of the baser principles behind what we do. Matt Perman here it's a much longer book. So Kevin DeYoung's book is probably 120 pages-ish, and it's a small format book at that. Matt Perman's book here is over 300 pages, and it also gets into more nuts and bolts. It talks about tools and things that we can use to help with our schedules and to manage various things that we do. But basically, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that Matt Perman is trying to give us every opportunity and every help and tip to help us have a better Christian understanding of what it means to do work and how to do it in a way that affords the most effectiveness. We can be most effective, and that is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but also to love one another, even through our work. So let me just read the parts, and then we can close up on this particular book. I hope to have Matt on in an interview if we can.
That'd
Part
be great,
one
huh?
was first things first, I mentioned. Part two is gospel-driven productivity. That's GDP. It's a very good business acronym here. It's not gross domestic product here. We're talking about gospel-driven productivity,
yep.
A new way to look at getting things done. Part three is define. So you got to know what's most important. Part 4 is architect. That helps you to create a flexible structure. Part 5 is reduce. That is to free up your time for what's most important. So much of our schedules and things we say yes to are just things that either we don't need to do or somebody else can do, or we just often don't need to be done at all. So he'll often talk about delegation in a stewardship way, not just in a gopher way, but helpful delegation or killing projects, things that just don't need to be done. Part 6, execute. Do what's most important. And part 7, living this out. So he has chapters on productivity in organizations and society, as well as productivity with respect to world missions and how our faith relates to our work. And I've got another book on that we'll do in another Reform Media Review. So that is a lot to say about, in terms of introduction for this book, What's Best Next. I say I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Anybody who has definitely had any experience in GTD or any productivity will love it because they'll see how it complements the various systems and things you've already learned. But people who have never once done any reading or any thought about productivity will grow and learn and be helped by this book. So I very much encourage people to pick this up. Just in terms of critical remarks, because I know it's helpful, the one criticism I have of this book can be seen as a strength and from one perspective, but I do want to do a caveat emptor. The book does lend itself more to being maybe about a little bit more than half curation and then the rest of his own thoughts. So what I mean by that is what Matt has done is he's read an enormous amount of books on the subject, and he's taken kind of the best ideas and he's called and curated them together and shared them with us, you know, books by David Allen, Peter Drucker, Stephen Covey, Scott Belsky, other people that have written some very helpful books on the subject. And he takes those ideas and stitches them together into his own book and then offers his thoughts on those things. So if you're averse to that kind of style, that kind of culling, stitching together, and then commenting style, then the book, you might have a stylistic problem with the book. However, I found it helpful because he has basically been my research assistant by doing his book this way, and then offered me his own thoughts. And then I've since purchased some of the books that he has used, and I'm reading them now. So he's got great documentation, and he's basically helping us all out by taking the best of what's out there and then offering a very solid Christian and evangelical, even reformed at points, understanding of vocation and time.
Yeah, that's good. That's helpful, and that curating can be useful depending on your particular expectations for a book. So, Well, thank you, Camden. This has been a very useful review, and once again, we thank you for listening. This has been the Reformed Media Review.